Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
Today is April 8th, right?
Yes.
Yeah, let me check. Yes.
I was like, wait a minute. 2025 and it is currently 41 degrees out. It's going to get crispy today. Today's weather is partly sunny, windy, and cold with a high of 47 degrees. And tonight you can expect clear with it temperatures approaching the record low of 26 degrees set in 1977. There will be a freeze, a low of 29 degrees.
Oh, cool.
You picked the wrong week to come to Philadelphia.
Was it nicer a week ago?
It was. It's been a
warmer.
It's been a pretty nice spring until like
I arrived.
The middle of last week.
Yeah. Okay. I get it. Yeah. I see the picture you're painting, Greg. Yeah.
Now we're back to 50 and drizzle.
Yeah.
Blows.
Yeah.
Massive win for Trump as Supreme Court rules he can deport illegal immigrants using historic wartime act. President Donald Trump scored a huge win in his efforts to deport migrants living in the United States illegally with a major Supreme Court ruling on Monday. The country's highest court in an unsigned 5-4 ruling ruled that the Trump administration can invoke the Alien Enemies Act of 1798 to deport alleged Venezuelan gang members. Trump has declared that members of the Tren de Agua gang were terrorists, and his border czar, Tom Homan, spectacularly rounded up suspected gangsters across the U.S. last month to send them back to the hellhole prisons in Venezuela. But the president's efforts were halted on March 15th when Obama appointed U.S. District Court Judge James Boasberg issued an injunction blocking the deportations. That injunction has now been lifted under the Supreme Court ruling, allowing the president to once again send suspected gang members to their home countries.
I would also like to declare on this show right now at 6:08 on Tuesday morning that I will also be invoking the Alien Enemies Act starting Thursday morning and deporting my family out of the house until the master's is completed on Sunday afternoon. Personal thing. But no, here's the thing, like with this story, you know, there's so many people, and again, take it for what it's worth. It's social media. I get it's not the bulk of the country. Most people probably not even paying attention to these stories. That being said, to me, it's a victory. You got what you wanted. Is it like an ultimate spike the football touchdown celebration victory? No. But everybody's complaining about Amy Comey Barrett. And to me, I get it. She has sided with the female liberal justices on SCOTUS in a handful of decisions recently. But whether it's 5-4 or 6-3, you still got the victory, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's 7-2, 8-1, 9-0, you still had your conservative handpicked majority Supreme Court bench rule in Trump's favor.
Mm-hmm.
Yet I look on social media and everybody's bitching about Amy Coney Barrett. Like, I get it. She's going against the grain. I don't understand it. And I'm no legal expert, but I thought the Alien Enemies Act would apply to this, and ultimately it does.
I was just about to ask, what is the argument against it?
I didn't read any of the dissenting opinions from the liberal justices, because they go against Trump every time anyway.
Yeah, I understand that, but they're not supposed to be here, and they're gang members. Why do you want them in the country at all?
Makes no sense to me.
Not quite sure. Philadelphia man arrested in Bensalem for trying... Did I say that right?
What, Ben Salem?
Yeah.
Of course.
I didn't know if it was like Ben Salam or something like that.
No.
Okay, for trying to meet a 13-year-old girl for sex, a 34-year-old Philadelphia man was arrested on sexual abuse charges and unlawfully contacting a 13-year-old girl, the police department said. Ian Evans was charged with sexual abuse of children, unlawful contact with a minor, corruption of minors, and criminal use of a communication facility. Police said Evans started talking with a 13-year-old girl on a social media dating app in March, which led to the two sending text messages. Evans then began messaging the 13-year-old about, quote, sexual acts and asked the juvenile to get naked while he did so.
Good
but he's
God.
Been caught and all is well.
How old is he?
I think he's 34.
This is why you need to keep your kids off of social media and devices.
Mm-hmm.
13.
Yep.
When is the appropriate age to give a child?
You're asking the wrong guy. My kids,
a phone.
Or never.
Never. Okay. Because how old is your son, Greg? Four.
He's going to be 5 in June.
So is he getting a phone for his birthday?
He's never getting a phone.
Okay.
He's
Greg already has an X account dedicated for
him. Yeah. He's never getting a phone. I am. Everybody laughs at me and says, "Ah, you'll cave. You'll cave." No, I won't. I will not.
Not even when not even when he turns 14. He's a freshman in high school.
There's no need. We all grew up, well, maybe not you, Anna, but we all grew up without technology. We don't need it. We don't need it. But it is so.
It is.
It is like we act like, oh, but everybody's gonna have it. Who gives a rat's, you know what?
Yeah. I I'm not a parent, but I
stock
tend
is totally gonna cave.
I tend to agree with you. I think it. I think it disrupts your mind, especially
it does.
Growing mind. Like
yes.
It rots it.
Yes.
It's not good.
My daughters are 10. We've had to take the phone multiple times because when they're holding it, their brain shuts off.
Mm-hmm.
They don't hear anything. They don't see anything. They turn into zombies. And normally I like when my kids are quiet
yeah.
and don't pay attention to me. But when I'm trying to get their attention, damn it, you have to put the phone down.
Right. I mean, I barely have enough control to kind of self-regulate. So I can't imagine like an 8 or 9 year old would have the ability to be like, that's enough.
Nope.
I think I should
nope.
Go outside and play.
Right.
So.
And it's just they need to be raised like we were on TV.
Yep.
Exactly.
That's way more.
Or it's five across the eyes.
Well, at least you're like sitting as a family and kind of like interacting with each other,
yeah.
all watching the same thing.
Agreed. There is a difference in my mind between TV, even though our parents, well, at least my parents used to say, TV rots your brain.
Yeah.
It doesn't. I mean, maybe it does a little bit. But it doesn't
less so.
It doesn't as much as these phones and the social media app.
Yeah,
I completely agree. Video captures pallbearers plunge into a burial hole. This is another
story
local
of the
news.
Day.
Yeah, a grieving family is speaking out after pallbearers fell into the grave while carrying the casket of their loved one in North Philadelphia.
We have the video here. Just, I don't mean to interrupt you.
No.
This is not funny.
It's a little funny.
Well, I think it's hilarious.
Right? A little funny.
Oh God.
All of them go down.
Oh, and down goes Frazier.
Phil, can we re-rack that? If we could just play it on loop, just the
Anna
plunge.
Anna doesn't have a video in front of her.
I see it.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Here he goes.
And
they're trying to put him down.
Oh man.
That's got to be, what, 6 pallbearers right there?
Yeah.
That is my...
You see that leg hanging out?
Yeah, his leg's done.
I don't know if you guys have ever... well, not you, Anna, but Nick, have you ever been a pallbearer?
I have, multiple times.
And it is... That is my biggest fear, is dropping the casket or falling in.
My biggest fear is just the entire day. You know what's weird is I'm not scared of dying. I know I'm going to be dead in about 19 to 20 years. you know, I think I believe in the afterlife the whole bit. So, but when I go into a funeral parlor for a viewing, or if I'm at a funeral home, even when I go to visit my parents 2-3 times a year at the cemetery, put a wreath on their grave and things like that, I can't wait to get out of there. There's something about the funeral. Oh my God. And then you go up there. This has got to be the most awkward thing of all time. Is there anything more awkward than going up to the casket in the funeral home to pay your respects,
yeah,
and staring down at a dead, stuffed corpse?
I've never done that before.
You never have?
Not viewing.
I don't like the whole viewing thing.
Neither do I.
Yeah. I don't.
What's the point?
I'd much prefer like a celebration of life.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Where we all get together and, you know.
I want it, when I die, I want everybody to gather for a good time, get drunk, and celebrate the fact that I will never be able to annoy you again. That's what it should be about.
He's gone.
Woo! Yes. Throw a bar mitzvah. Throw whatever you need to do. Pull out a pinata, mimosas. You name it.
Can
you don't want them to be a little sad? A little sad.
No.
I feel like I want.
I realize.
Tears to
I
be
realize
shed.
I've put people through hell, and I'm an ass. I deserve it.
Because everyone says like, "Oh, I want people to have fun and have a party," but I'm like, "Do you really mean that?" Because I want people to cry.
Can we get? can you play the video one more time, Phil? Because Carl brings up a point that I just want to see if we have.
First, pallbearer has a mask on. That's probably why he fell, because he can't see anything.
Yeah, there's a lot of.
Doesn't the ground cave in though?
It does.
The wood planks do.
Oh God! Yeah. Oh God! Can you imagine being there and everybody? Oh God!
Just that leg.
Oh,
that's an ACL injury all day.
The dude with gray hair looks like Tim Walz. He just goes tumbling down.
YouTube.com/@1210 WPHD if you want to see this video.
Wow.
That is honestly my biggest fear. Every time I'm doing this, one of these, I'm just like, please don't fall.
Yeah.
Please don't fall.
Yeah.
Because they're not light, right?
No, that's why you need 6 people.
Yeah, 6.
And it's still a bit of
a
tussle to carry that big thing around.
Tussle.
Yeah. I'm never going to, by the way, I will never be in the ground. I'm either going to be above ground or cremated.
Above ground? Like in a mausoleum or something?
Yeah.
In a cubby?
Mm-hmm.
I want to be frozen.
You want to be cryogenically frozen, yeah, like Ted Williams.
Or Walt Disney.
Or have your head frozen.
Yeah. I don't care. I'll be dead. Doesn't matter.
Anna, you don't care? You don't mind the bugs science. And the maggots crawling up your nose?
Whatever. I'll be dead. I won't care.
Okay.
Road Warrior says, you're all coming with me.
Road Warrior's taking us out.
Yeah.
Lastly, we got some sports.
Sports! Yeah. Woo! Well, the Phillies didn't play. They start a 3-game series in Atlanta tonight, right?
Yes, they do.
When is the World Series?
That would be like in October.
Oh, I thought that we were approaching that. No. Or something. Yes. Oh, there's so many games of baseball and hockey.
I agree.
Like,
it's too much.
By the way, the Yankees played Detroit yesterday, and it was snowing.
Yeah, that's, like, again, East Coast baseball in April sucks.
No, it was in Detroit.
You can speak to Detroit.
I've actually been to a game. What? I'd never been to a game before that, and I thought the groundskeepers were like a pageantry team, and I started getting really excited, and my friend was like just sitting there staring at me. Yeah. I'm like, whoa, wait, what are they doing? He's like, they're cleaning the ground.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to sit down.
If you've ever watched the mid-morning show on Fox News, they do a segment called Dana Perino, Dana Does Sports, because she knows nothing about sports.
Yeah.
Clearly, you know nothing about sports, which is not really a prerequisite for this job, so you're
Thank
good.
God. Okay.
But we could do like a segment called Anna Does Sports, where she tries to figure out when the World Series is, even though it's April.
Or just like try to pronounce some of these football players' names.
Sorry
in advance.
I'm with you on the name thing. I don't butcher names. I murder names on this show.
Okay.
Terrible.
Sure. On purpose or because you just...
No, just because I'm a moron.
Oh, okay. Okay. I got you.
Yeah.
Florida swamps Houston, winning third NCAA Men's Basketball National Championship. The University of Florida Gators are back on top of the college basketball world in front of a capacity crowd of 66,602 at the,
Alamo Dome.
Okay, on Monday night, the Gators pulled off yet another dramatic comeback, this time against the University of Houston by a razor-thin margin, 65-63. That would probably be an exciting game.
Yes, it was.
We have the final 8
Give
seconds.
It up. Cryer, 6 seconds, 5 seconds, short. He walked. He can't touch it. He can't. 1 second.
Weren't you all in on Duke, Kale?
I was all in on Duke and Auburn. They both lost on Saturday. I took Florida last night, laid 1.5. They won by 2, so I covered by the half point. But you know what? I didn't see the second half because I fell asleep. Because that godforsaken game didn't start till almost 9 o'clock.
That's ridiculous.
I was in a coma by 10:15, probably.
Ridiculous.
It's absurd that they start the. Well, we got to get the California audience. California doesn't care about anything.
No, nope.
They don't watch sports.
That's a good point.
They're out there protesting Newsom or surfing and eating fish tacos in San Diego. Losers.
The Cougars dominated the Gators at the start, leading to the lowest scoring first half of a men's national title game since 2011. That was the game plan for Houston and Cougars coach Kelvin Sampson, who are known for their smash-mouth defense and junkyard style of play. The Gators, who trailed by as much as 12, turned up their high-octane offense with 7 minutes left in the game and chipped away at the Cougar lead.
Yes, I'm always a fan of chipping away at Cougars, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
You chip away at the Cougs.
I like it.
Wear them down.
Yep. And Kale and Company, that's News Live.
All right. Thank you very much, Arnold. 855-839-1210. We'll come back and get to a Tuesday Big Take. Tony Bruno is already active on X, and he'll be joining us about an hour from now, or if he really feels the need to jump in, maybe earlier. As we get started on a Tuesday with a Big Take with tariffs and Trump yesterday, the doom and gloom that never materialized. Back after this, Kale and Company, Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and the free Odyssey app.
The Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Brought to you by the gift of life, The Big Take, the Tariff Sheriff. You know, it's the Trump tariff turmoil. That's what they were shouting and screaming from the media mountaintops over the last 3 or 4 days. Actually, it's not. It wasn't close to what the experts said it would be. And nothing is more important than the economy. As they say, it's the economy, stupid. Yet stupid is what the Trump economic agenda doubters and haters are. Trump has attacked the economy with a three-pronged approach, if you think about it. Energy, DOGE, cutting the waste, fraud, and abuse, and tariffs, which has been going on now for about 6 days. And here are the facts when it pertains to the stock market. 62% of Americans have some form of investment in the stock market, with a majority of that 62% in the form of their 401k. Sure, some people have individual stocks or S&P index bonds and things like that, but for the most part, it is a 401k world. And the goal is simple for Trump: lower inflation and make the stock market boom. But if you needed further proof that political realignment has happened, and many are too oblivious with TDS to realize it, I want you to process this. Trump voters, for the most part, they're not Wall Street, they're Main Street. Wall Street is now consistent with the coastal elites of the left. Allow me to walk you through history and work our way to yesterday. Here was Donald Trump way back in 2012. That's right, 13 years ago, on what he said he would do to China and trade wars on behalf of America. Listen and watch.
And I said, somebody said, well, what would you do? What can you do? So easy. I drop a 25% tax on China. And you know, I said to somebody that is really the messenger. The messenger is important. I could have one man say, we're going to tax you 25%. And I could say another, listen, you, we're going to tax you 25%.
Uh-huh. So let's fast forward now to 2015. Here's grifter Bernie Sanders playing the blame game for America's bad business deals. Listen and watch.
At the end of the day, I think what Americans perceive, and you ask me why there is momentum for our campaign, these trade agreements were written by corporate America, were written by Wall Street. The goal was to shut down plants in America, to stop having to pay workers in Iowa, Vermont, this country, decent wages, move to China, pay people low wages, and bring their products back.
But supported by Democratic administrations.
You're quite right. Many of these policies, you're absolutely right, many of these policies were supported by not only Republicans, by President Clinton, and unfortunately, President Obama. They are bad policies. They are opposed, by and large, by every trade union in this country, and I believe by the majority of the American people. At the end of the day, the American worker should not be forced to compete against people in Vietnam who make 56 cents an hour minimum wage.
Seems to me like Bernie Sanders should be championing Donald Trump these days, no? Let's jump ahead to 2017. Here's Senator Chuck Schumer ripping Trump for not being tougher on China. And a few months later, Trump did what he said he would do, tax China. Listen and watch.
I'd like to see him explain his decision to the thousands of steelworkers whose jobs are on the line because their companies aren't competing on a level playing field because China repeatedly subsidizes, doesn't play by the rules, and cheats.
Well, he's doing it now. He did it again 6 months after Chuck Schumer made those statements about 7 years ago. And he's playing a head-on collision game of chicken with big bad China. So you'd think Chucky Boy would be on board with Trump, right? No, of course not. But now we return to the modern era. Let me start with the failed, wrong, and always delusional commentary that comes out of Comcast and NBC. Here was Morning Joe yesterday, hanging out with wifey on TV, reading the newspaper, sipping his coffee, telling you what you would see later in the day on Monday, April 7th, 2025. Listen and watch.
What you're going to see today is you're going to see billionaires that work in the administration talking on networks that are pretending like there's nothing to see here. They're going to be talking to hosts who are millionaires, who are going to be telling middle-class and working-class Americans, small business owners, entrepreneurs, people that have spent their entire lives building up their family restaurants or their family businesses or their family, I don't know, import-export businesses. They're going to tell them, don't worry, nothing to worry about. This had to be done.
That stone fraud acting like he cares about the common person, trying to induce you into fear and anxiety when in reality he's the one worried and he has zero credibility left. Remember back in November, December, he had to go to Mar-a-Lago and kiss the ring and make amends with Trump as he brought along Mika. And why do I say no credibility left? Remember Joe? Joe Scarborough, that is, in April 2024, talking about another Joe? Listen and watch.
That guy's mental state, I've said it for years now, he's cogent. But I undersold him when I said he was cogent. He's far beyond cogent. In fact, I think he's better than he's ever been. Intellectually, analytically, because he's been around for 50 years.
2 months later, Joe Biden's political career ended on that debate stage in Atlanta, Georgia in June. But now that I'm finished dusting this crisis actor, let's go to Jim Cramer on CNBC. Different channel, same company, same failures to the American public. Cramer said last Friday that stocks could crash by 22%. Listen and watch.
The president doesn't try to reach out and reward these countries and companies that play by the rules in the 1987 scenario, the one where we went down 3 days and then down 22% on Monday, has the most cogency. We will not have to wait out too long, will we? We'll know by Monday. Fortunately, we had an excellent set of employment numbers today. At least it makes it less likely a crash will necessarily lead to a recession. But if President Trump stays intransigent and does nothing to ameliorate the damage that I saw these last 2 days, I'm not going to be constructive here. I will contain my anger, but only because I lived through 87, and in the end, I came out okay. I was in cash for the crash. I know what this feels like. Oh, and if Europe moves against our fabulous tech companies next week, then I will be furious. That I promise you, because it should not happen.
Well, I guess there's no need to worry about a mad money meltdown, because as usual, Cramer was wrong. The Dow yesterday dropped by 0.9%. It's actually the same spot it was a year ago yesterday. The S&P 500 dropped by 0.25%. And the NASDAQ went up, finished in the green, by 0.1%. Essentially, no movement. And you wonder why MSNBC only has one show in the top 15 cable news shows of 2025 through quarter one. And it's Rachel Maddow, who's a part-timer at this point, coming in 13th. And you wonder now why more Democrats actually watch Fox News than MSNBC and CNN. Because the truth is, America voted for this. Phil, please throw up this graphic on YouTube. This was a CBS YouGov poll right after Trump's election victory in late November. 52% of total voters favor the tariffs. And to quote my boy Harry Enten on CNN, that's a plurality of the electorate. And within the Republican Party, 83% favor it. And to put Trump's market into perspective, from last Friday, we saw roughly a 5-point dip, and yesterday, less than a single point. Let's look at the real crashes in American history. This is courtesy of ABC News. Here are the five biggest plunges in American history. Number five was March 12th, 2020. That was basically the COVID admission day in America. It dropped just about 10 points. Number four, October 29th of 1929. It was called the Great Depression. 11.73 points. Number three, October 28th, 1929. The day before number four, 12.8 points. Number two, March 16th of 2020, a few days into COVID, just under 13 points. And number one, October 19th, 1987. Jim Cramer was there. He lived it. Black Monday, 22.5 points. We didn't deal with anything yesterday. Unless you're checking your 401k every 19 minutes. I'll wrap by saying this. It's pretty amazing that Democrats in the media just told us a week ago that Trump is evil because he's going to enrich his billionaire buddies. Now, over the last 72 hours, millionaires and billionaires, they lost a lot of money, right? Dave Portnoy of Barstool Sports crying about how he lost 20% of his net worth. Total psycho. And if you think about it, leading up to yesterday, that's what they were saying. Yet it was Democrats ranting and raving yesterday about the billionaires on Wall Street losing money. I think Trump hit the right tone yesterday and the right note with this post on Truth Social. Quote, the United States has a chance to do something that should have been done decades ago. Don't be weak. Don't be stupid. Don't be a panickin. New term, by the way. A new party based on weak and stupid people. That's what a panickin is. Be strong, courageous, and patient. And greatness will be the result. The highest the stock market reached was in 2024 at just over 45,000. Can it get back there again? Can it surpass that high water mark? We're going to find out soon enough. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Brought to you by Gift of Life. Join Gift of Life for the 28th annual Donor Dash on Sunday, April 27th at the Philadelphia Navy Yard. You can promote the life-saving importance of organ and tissue donation by participating in the 5K, the 10K, or the 3K. You can run the 5K or 10K, or you can walk the 3K, and you can register today at donorsone.org. That's donors. The number one.org. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. You can hit us up on all the socials at 1210 WPHT. And, of course, let it rip in the YouTube chat. All right, Otta Hummel, a lot of doom and gloom, a lot of fear porn, a lot of fear mongering. And unless you were looking at your 401k and refreshing your browser every 8 seconds yesterday, nothing really seemed to change.
So I'm not a finance bro, no. Be honest right now. I'm same, not an economist. Here. But what I do know, and I feel like a lot of this is speculation, you know, we think it might go in this direction, but there's experts on both sides saying the opposite things. All I know is to freak out about something like this is not going to help your health. So try to be stoic about it. Understand that you're going to get through it no matter what. And go outside and touch some grass.
I know. Get away from your monitors. Get away from your screens. Go out there and live your life. And I saw a lot of smart people that are well off financially that certainly have a lot of investments in different elements to the market saying yesterday on the 401k front and your stock front, unless you're retiring here in the next couple of weeks and obviously getting that 401k money out, you're going to be just fine. And then I was listening to a financial analyst. He's actually a realtor. He's been in the realtor mortgage brokerage business for 43 years. He was talking about how tariffs could actually reduce mortgage rates, which would be in that element, in that arena specifically, a good thing. He said, if you're one of these individuals, and I'm not giving financial advice, so please don't take this the wrong way because I cannot give financial advice. But most people, or not, maybe not even most people, some people, they have like of their investment portfolio, they might have like 10% of their investment on certain individual stocks. And then the rest are like S&P index things or bonds. And I know this for a fact because you can look it up the data. If you invest in like an S&P index fund, right, you get 8 or 9% return on average per year. So over the course of 10 years, that should double. So like if you're one of these people that can actually emotionally find some stability with your finances and not panic. So you take $100, right? Just for dummy math.
Sure.
You invest in an S&P index fund. It gains 9% over 10 years. It's basically going to double in a decade. So 2 decades from now, you're talking it goes from 1 to 200, 200 to 400. If you can put it basically in a box, forget it exists for 20 years. On average, you're going to almost quadruple your investment, but you can't be in there looking at it every day, freaking out over the things that you shouldn't be freaking out over that you can't control. It's like going into a casino.
Yeah.
Like if you can't handle the swings, you probably shouldn't gamble.
Yeah.
Like I like to bet on sports. I'm not going to lose my mind over the course of losing 2 or 3 bets. If I think I can win 60% of my bets over the course of 100 bets, I'm going to ride it out. And at the end, I'm going to turn a profit. Same thing if you're running a business, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you're not going to totally freak out if your first 10 days of a mom and pop restaurant doesn't turn a profit over the course of a year, 5 years, 10
years.
Right,
you got to zoom out.
Yeah, right. Like so many people have this fear-mongering mindset of living and dying with every second of the day. When we're talking about things like the stock market, tariffs, and investments, that's the wrong way to look at it.
Yeah, I think I mentioned this last week. It's kind of like weighing yourself. You shouldn't do it after every meal.
Right.
You know what I mean? Maybe like once a week, once a month. Or
I did that yesterday, never. And I gained 1/2 pound. I was pissed off.
How did you gain 1/2 pound?
Here's the weird part. So we're doing, Phil just came in here, like I thought he'd body slam somebody. Like a bull in a china shop. Oh my God, heart's pounding now. I am going to drop that of a heart attack. I didn't know who that, thought that could have been a deranged progressive. I'm on a weight loss kick here.
Oh, boy.
And my goal is to lose 15 pounds in 90 days. I got to get from
easy.
Yeah, that's what I thought. 15 pounds in 90 days, go from 215 down to 200. After like 2 days, I lost 2.5, 3 pounds. And then by the end of the week, I ended up gaining 0.3 pound. And I don't know what
But it's
wrong.
A net loss, right?
No, it's a net gain. It's a net gain of 0.3 pounds.
Oh, it's
okay. Now I'm 215.3 and I'm pissed. So I give up. I quit. I'm out.
Don't. No, no. You got to stay the course.
I'm getting a bottle of booze tonight. The hell with it.
When did you start again?
Last Monday, 8 days ago.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Stay the course.
Are you running?
I am. I'm doing cardio. And I haven't been lifting, so it's not muscle weighs more than fat. It's not like I put on any muscle weight.
Could be water. Water retention fluctuates all the time.
All right. So you're saying I hit the restrooms more often during the breaks instead of talking to you every commercial?
Yeah, exactly.
Sounds good.
Take a good doot and you'll be fine.
That's what I'm going to plan on doing a little bit later.
Don't push too hard.
Yeah. Make sure that seven minute spot block is good for the cut sheet because I'm going to be down the hall. You know what I mean? 855-839-1210. If you want to jump in yesterday on all of the financial stuff, you can certainly do so. And all the tariffs, 855-839-1210. All right. Coming up next as we wrap up the first hour, Gen Z branded as the ghosted generation, which is interesting because all the people that I know that are Gen Z, they usually ghost me.
Right.
So I'm not ghosting you. You're ghosting me. We'll do the finger pointing blame game when we come back. It's Kale and Company. Anna's in for Dawn. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
I wanted to get to this story. I find this to be fascinating. And I think on this show, we talk a lot about the age differences, the generation gaps from the boomers to the Gen Xers to the millennials to Gen Z and all the way down. And then the New York Post with this story yesterday, which kind of caught me off guard because I think maybe either the headline's a little misleading or they've got their facts wrong. But the headline is Gen Z branded as the ghosted generation as dates, colleges, and employers keep saying no. And they write the following: ghosted on dating apps, rejected by colleges, and passed over for jobs. Rejection isn't fleeting for Gen Z. In fact, it's becoming a defining feature of their collective identity. As young adults come of age in a culture shaped by hyper-curated digital existences, political tumult, and cultural and economic instability, a new pattern has emerged. Gen Z is facing more rejection at critical life stages than any recent generation. The author of this story, titled Gen Z Egos, or Their Alleged Sense of Entitlement, isn't what's at stake. Rather, it's, quote, our expectation of agency in an increasingly mediated world. Living with a loved one while scraping by on a few $100s a month from contract work, Gen Zers feel in certain moments of their life, it's, quote, not worth living at that particular moment. From education to careers to romance, never before have young adults had this much access to prospective yeses, yet in turn, never before have young adults been told no so frequently. They even go on to say here, Anna Hummel, in the dating world, Gen Zers have access to more potential partners than perhaps any other generation before them. And it's all at their fingertips.
All you have to do is swipe.
Swipe, now. Swipe, swipe.
Oh, God, it's so easy.
Yet at the same time, the age group is getting married years after the baby boomer grandparents did, swiping through potential partners, going out on dates with multiple people, only to get rejected and rejected at an astonishingly high rate. So what do you make of this? Because I can't sit here and say I have a ton of interaction with Gen Zers on a daily basis, mostly millennials and Gen Xers. But I feel like we live in a generation where a lot of people ghost people, and I get the sense that I don't ghost anybody, yet Gen Z apparently is being ghosted at an alarming rate. You know what I really think it is? I think Gen Z, here's the crux of this, I think they're socially awkward.
Oh, yeah.
I think they are incredibly socially awkward.
They all have autism.
If not autism, they're just so used to everything being in front of the device that when they get in front of another human being, they can't do what you and I have done since 5:15 this morning. That's talk and stare at each other.
Yeah. It seems like there's a lot of gaslighting going on because they're like, we're not entitled. It's actually not our fault, which is what Gen Z is great at doing, is pointing the finger at other people and other things.
Yes, it's white people's fault. It's a Republican's fault. It's Trump's fault. It's my parents' fault. It's the other person's fault at school.
I can't,
I'm being bullied. I'm the victim. I think we have created, really in the last, and this goes beyond just 2020. I think a lot of this kind of came to a head during the pandemic and all the social justice and all the nonsense. But I think this has been brewing for a long time where people just look at it and say, you know what? It's easier to say that I have been wronged in some aspect of my life when I was deservingly, I deserved it. I was justified. Like, no, well, like when people reject you, roll up your sleeves and fight harder.
Yeah.
Don't roll over and bitch about it and cry about it on TikTok.
Yeah, it's a much more comfortable thought, I guess, to just blame other people.
Yes.
But when you don't take agency over your life, then you're not in the driver's seat, which to me is terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
So I just take full responsibility, or at least I like to think that I do,
yes,
of every situation in my life. But kind of going back to what you were saying about the phone and technology and stuff like that, it for sure warps your brain and you just don't know how to interact. I mean, I know that when I turned 16, I got my license late because I got my license a week after I turned 16, when most people would do it on their birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of my Gen X friends with their Gen Z children,
yeah,
they don't get their license.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. Adults that are 19, 20, yeah, they just take Uber, or they don't want to leave the house because they're just playing video games or they're on their phone. They don't really want to interact with other people face to face because every time that they do, they're on their phones anyways.
So you're saying the thrill of getting the driver's license, yeah, which was freedom, no longer exists?
She's right. She's 100%
really?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's an article about it in the Wall Street Journal a couple months ago, maybe a year ago now, where they said, like, this is the generation that does not want to get their license. They're not anxious like we were to, you know, get out of town.
There was nothing. I'll never forget it. When I turned 16, it was 2000. My grandmother, my dad's mom, had just passed away. She left me like $3,500, and it was to buy a cheap junker car. My first car was a 8-year-old, so it was a 1992 Mercury Sable. It was the Bobo Ford Taurus. Remember, Ford and Mercury, same company. They'd create the same models, but they call them different things. I had a white Mercury Sable with like maroon cloth interior.
Mm.
It was atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got that car, I could not wait to say on a Saturday, Mom, I'm out. I'll be back. You know, this is in the afternoon, so it wasn't like, Nikki, you got to be home at 11 o'clock. She knew I'd be home before 11 o'clock,
sure,
but I was going to be gone for 4 or 5 hours with my buddies in the middle of the day.
Because you didn't know any better.
You didn't know, and I just wanted to go.
Yep.
I wanted to go and get gas and then burn the gas up as fast as I could.
Sure.
Right?
Yep.
Now I'm trying to preserve every gallon I have.
Yeah. I think it's for the first, like, 6 months when you have your license. You can't drive, like, someone... you can't drive with another teenager in the car or something like that. There was some rule about that.
Yeah.
I remember driving my best friend, putting her in the trunk of my car, and just taking her home from school, and it was the most thrilling thing ever.
That's called an abduction.
Oh. She was a willing participant.
Wow.
But yeah, she got in the trunk, and we just went, and
it was
great.
Greg? It was a he.
Oh.
No, it was a she.
Oh.
Yeah, no, it was a she.
Well,
trust me, it was a she. I was not doing any of that in high school.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I just couldn't, and it wasn't one of these things either where it was like, well, I didn't have technology. I mean, the year's 2000. It's the dot-com era. AOL Instant Messenger. I mean, everybody was messaging each other instead of texting or social media. You lived in front of that big desktop, and you were messaging your buddies. There was, television was booming. There was the downloading of music with Napster and LimeWire.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, I'm just going to go out there and run around in the dirt like they did back in the 60s. We had a lot of, you know, cool technology at that point, right?
Dude, remember this? And you guys can probably attest to this because you're dudes, but you would have, if you wanted to talk to a girl, you would have to call her house and maybe her dad would pick
it's
up.
It's the greatest. I say to my son.
God bless you guys. That's terrifying.
I say to my son all the time, we are losing that as a society.
Yeah.
There is no bigger lesson than I believe that a lot of my confidence and a lot of my able to communicate, even though I said my able to communicate, which is not grammatically correct, came from the fact that I had to call the girl,
mm-hmm,
ask for, you know, get past the father, all of that.
The moxie.
It was so terrifying. But
sliding into DMs are so easy.
Now it's like, hey, do you want to hang out? No. All right, cool.
Yeah.
On to the next one.
Right.
Like this actually took work.
Yeah. I remember like a guy calling my house for like physics help. I don't know if he was actually even romantically interested, but he was the first boy that ever called my house.
Yeah.
And my dad was like, you know, on and there's someone on the phone for you. I take the phone. I'm talking. I can hear my dad breathing on the other line. I'm like, Dad, hang up. And then click. terrified.
Her curfew's 10 o'clock. That means 9:50.
Hi, Mr. Hummel. Is Anna available? I need some homework. I need some help with my physics.
Yeah. What are you doing, physics club? We talk about physics. 855-839-1210. The phone number. Hour two is on the way. Anna has some news to kick off the 7 o'clock hour. And then we have two good stories to get to before Bruno joins us for the cut sheet. By the way, remember, we're in that blackout stretch. Remember the big social movements of protesting big companies? Walmart experiencing a nationwide boycott this week. We'll give you the details on that and how Obama and Biden paved the way for Trump to attack universities. Kale and Company, Hour 2 is next.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.